44% of white women and 70% of people of color say increasing diversity is a must for their agency. But 7 in 10 white men say their agency already does a good job of hiring, retaining, and promoting a diverse group of employees. More than half of them say they don't think it's important to increase diversity at their agency. The sharp contrast doesn't surprise consultant Susan Grunin. She's conducted research on the issue for federal agencies.
You often take a position of what we call you stand where you sit. You're going to look at it from your own personal experience.
Participants' comments underscore that point. Some men complain about women getting an unfair share of promotions. Some white women say their agency cares only about Black or Latino workers. And some Latinos say their agency does a good job when it comes to hiring, retaining, and promoting people of some ethnic groups, but not theirs. Agency's challenge, Grunin says, is to get employees to think of diversity as more than just race, ethnicity, or gender.
Executive order basically is telling the agencies you need to have people who have diversity in various, there's something like 21 areas, diversity, from thought to culture, gender, race. Those are just some. The five protected classes are, you know, but everything from universities, where you grew up, to how you think differently from your training to your skills, what they're looking at in diversity, they're looking at is this idea that a broader group of individuals who think outside the box, who don't have the same paradigms, bring more innovation, bring more inclusiveness, and by doing that, we create a culture that's accepting and more inclusive of everyone.
The Office of Personnel Management has published a guide for agencies that spells out that definition, but a third of survey respondents say it won't change a thing at their agency, and the executive order is just a political ploy. Grunin says federal workers have seen presidents and executive orders come and go.
They think it's the fad of the administration, and so every 4 years you're faced with, you know, reinventing government or whatever it might be. Every administration has some things. I think here, though, the interesting thing is, I believe that a lot of people, when they say they've heard of the executive order, still are going back and hearing the word diversity and missing the entire whole understanding of what this is meant to be.
The executive order directs agencies to go beyond diversity and create an inclusive culture, a place where all employees feel like they can bring their issues to the table. Grunin says the survey respondents might have answered more optimistically if they understood what inclusion meant.
A lot of people hear the word diversity, and if you go back and take a look at historically, we started with affirmative action, went to EEO, went to diversity, and now when we start talking about diversity and inclusion, they're missing that whole big new definition that inclusion is everyone, including white males.
She says agencies' success with their diversity plans will depend on how well they can communicate that message. The Defense Department's Deputy Director of Diversity and Inclusion, Captain Ken Barrett, says in the military, inclusion isn't just a nice feel-good term. It's an operational imperative.
It's about driving innovation into the organization. Okay, how do we empower those to be able to infuse new ideas that is going to be the next big game changer for us in the department? So, I mean, that's what we kind of look at to be able to say, okay, how do I empower those folks? How do I bring them forward to be able to, hey, if they have great ideas, we're going to include them, and that they feel buy-in. And then if they are empowered, then they're going to be more apt to be able to be stay with the organization.
Before Barrett moved to the Defense Secretary's office, he directed an aggressive diversity strategy at the Navy. He says success depended on two things: committed leaders who communicated their message over and over, and employees who felt responsible and empowered to make a difference.
You'll have folks that, you know, okay, well, that's not my area. It's not something that I need to be doing, per se. It's something that somebody else should be doing. I think even though you may have a strong message from the top, which is a critical first step, by the way, you need to be able to get that next group, that middle managers, is where you need to really concentrate your efforts to be able to get the buy-in there. Because they're working a whole variety of different jobs, and a lot of times it's hard to be able to see how they fit into the solution.
At least one other agency is taking that message to heart. The Justice Department has set up diversity committees in all of its components, in addition to a council at headquarters. The committees include lawyers, secretaries, law enforcement personnel, and others. Channing Phillips oversees the initiative as senior counselor to Attorney General Eric Holder.
By setting up diversity committees, there is a mechanism now in every component for people to get involved. This is not, and the Attorney General stressed this, this is not a from the top down. For this to be a successful initiative, you have to have engagement at all levels within a component or an agency.
The Justice Department is about to go one step further. It's going to start evaluating mid- and senior-level managers on how well they adhere to its diversity strategy. Federally Employed Women Diversity Chairwoman Georgia Thomas says if all employees play a part, it might not take much to improve diversity in the government and turn some skeptics into believers.
We feel like the change has to be something real big and gigantic to make a difference, when in actuality it's the small incremental things that over time build up and you realize that you have progressed from one point to another.
Thomas doesn't count herself as one of those cynical folks. When it comes to the president's diversity order, she says she's firmly in the yes camp. In Washington, Emily Kopp, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.